podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
If you would, please turn with me to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And as we're turning there, listen to these statistics. Listen to these things. With 176 verses, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. The psalm is organized into 22 stanzas, each beginning with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. By using the Hebrew alphabet, the psalm becomes an acrostic that records the psalmist's devotion to God. Within the psalm, the psalmist emphasizes the importance of knowing God's law by using 8 different words for it. The word law is used 25 times and refers to instruction. Something happened to the light. Referred to the instruction. Somebody got a flashlight? All right, thank you. All right. Refers to the instruction from the first 5 books of the Bible. Word is used 24 times to indicate words that came from God's mouth. The word laws is used 23 times for legal cases or decisions within Israel's legal system. The word statute or statutes is used 23 times. Used 23 times to show loyalty to the covenant between God and Israel. The word commands is used 22 times for any instruction that came from God. It is a synonym for law, decrees, and laws. The word decrees is used 21 times to describe those things of which God was the author. The word precepts is used 21 times. It is found only in the book of Psalms and was used to describe the revelation of God. It is a synonym for the word covenant. Word or promise, from a different Hebrew word, is used 19 times for anything that God has said or promised. Said or promised. So if you would, once you turn to Psalm chapter 119, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Stand with me in the reading of honor of God's word. Psalm 119, and we're going to go through verse 16. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteousness, Your righteous judgments. I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Your word. With my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of Your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Your precepts. I will contemplate Your ways. I will delight myself in Your statutes. I will not forget Your word. Let's pray if we can. Dear Father, we thank You for the psalmist who declares unapologetically that Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, I pray that You would help each of us never to take Your word lightly. We thank You for Your inerrant, for Your infallible word that never leads us astray. It is our own desires that lead us astray. Lord, I pray that You would help us to always be on track with You and helping us to understand what it is that Your will is for our life. Father, I pray for each person in here today that we would understand and that we would be in awe over Your word. Not that we worship Your word, but that we share Your word with other people and that in and through your word, you declare to us who you truly are. God, I love you, and we thank you for today. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, but keep your Bibles open to Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. Let me ask you a few questions. Why might the psalmist have needed so many different ways to express God's work? What does this suggest to you about the importance of understanding God's precepts or laws? We live in a society in which it is politically correct to believe in nothing as absolute truth. As if to say, truth for me may be one thing, but for you it may be an entirely other thing. As believers, we find our faith in God, who has revealed Himself and His truth through the Bible. Why do you believe that people rebel against the Word of God so strongly? The truth claims of Scripture are bold. And when believers model the truth, people's lives are transformed. Did you understand that? When the truth claims of Scripture are bold, and when believers model the truth, people's lives are transformed. So it's nothing that we put on them. It's no standard that we as a congregation, no standard that we as a society put on them. Instead, it's God's Word that transforms not only our lives, but also the lives of other people. And so when people see that our lives are lived in such a way that according to the Scriptures, then their lives are transformed. Their lives are indeed changed because the Spirit of God works in and through His Word. And my prayer is that all of our lives would equal His Word, would speak clearly, would speak loudly through His Word, and so that our lives can be transformed, and thus the lives of other people would be transformed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you some more questions. How do you see the Word of God in your life? How do you see the Word of God in your life? The value we place on God's Word is reflected in the priority we give it. So if His Word remains something that's of very little priority in our lives, i.e., we don't spend much time in His Word, then guess what? There's very little transformation that's going to be happening in my own life and in your lives. So my prayer is that each of us would be able to reflect God's Word a priority and give it a priority in our own lives. So how is God's Word a priority in your life? We all must live our lives according to the Bible, God's treasure for us. If God's Word is indeed true, then we should have no problems whatsoever declaring that this is the Word of God, the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And there's nothing that we should do to part from it. Because this, my friends, will reveal God's true heartbeat to us. The closer we get to His Word, the more we stay in His Word, we can understand and we can hear His heartbeat and what His will is for our lives. So it's our prayer, my prayer during this time, that each of us would be walking in His ways, as the title says. Walking in His ways, and how we walk in His ways is to walk in His Word. Can you say the following? I help my children and family to navigate life's courses with the help of the Bible. I guide my thought life by what I find written in God's Word. I respond with the character of Christ in a setting, at home, at work, and at play. And that's really difficult because your family sees these things, the way we live our lives. Your co-workers see how you live your life according to the Scriptures. And definitely, we've found out during play, whether it's football or basketball and school sports and everything else, we find out really quickly how much the character of Christ is shining in and through our lives, or the lack of it. I expect to hear something from God when I read His Word. Is that what you do when you come to church and the pastor expounds on the Word of God? Are we so attentive to wanting to listen to His Word that we're leaning in, waiting? Not that the person's words are anything fabulous, but it's the words of God that will draw you in to it. Not that we worship the Word of God, but the Word of God tells us who God is and everything we know about Him. And so finally, do you encourage others by the truth that you find in Scripture? Do you encourage others with that truth? So let that be all the days of our life, that we would want to encourage those around us with the Word of God and the things that we learn from Scripture. It should be overflowing in our lives, not just in our speech, not just in our conduct, but so much more and beyond that. So might it be that we commit our lives to live according to the Word of God in all areas. Our focus in prayer is often on what God has done for us or what we need Him to do. Many times we fail to thank God for what He has blessed us with already, such as His Word. As you prayerfully read through these Scriptures, as we prayerfully read through these Scriptures in a moment, let the Holy Spirit prompt you with something about God's Word that has blessed your life. Many people claim that knowing how God wants them to live is hard to know. And indeed it is. Especially if you are apart from His Word, you don't know what His will is for your life. It's no great mystery. His will is not something to be figured out. His Word is contained herein. Everything that we need to know is here in His Word. Amen? Y'all are kind of quiet out there this morning. So we need to understand that everything is contained in His Word. And so there's no sense of us walking around like a bunch of zombies in zombie land wondering, what is it in our life that God wants us to do? God has claimed so many things in His Word from cover to cover what it is that He wants for our life. We do know a few things already just off the top of our head. We know that it is the long-suffering of the Lord Jesus that what? That all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. Is that going to happen? Probably not. But we do know that is His long-suffering. He desires that each and every one of us want to know, each and every one of His creation, He wants them to know Him as Lord and Savior. God wants us to live according to His Word. Unpacking His Word will help us to understand what is required of us and how we can simply apply that to our lives. For David, the psalmist, being able to know and obey was not just about following the rules. Obeying God brought great joy to his life as well. From this psalm, we will examine what is required to live according to God's standard. So look closely as we go through these scriptures this morning. We will examine, this is the main point, we will examine what is required to live according to God's standards. Look in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Let me go through this. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart. When I learn Your righteous judgments, I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Do not forsake me utterly. So the first point that I have this morning is when we obey what God commands in Scripture, we can enjoy the blessings of a life of integrity. We can enjoy the blessings of a life of integrity. Too many times we're looking for blessings in other things. We're looking for blessings of many other things other than what we can get from the Scriptures, from God's Word. So my prayer is that we would understand the blessings that we receive when we remain and we are obedient to His Word. The blessings are like none other. And this blessing that I'm going to talk about today is a blessing of integrity. How we can live a life of truth, live a life that knows the truth and follows through with that the best that we can. There's no way that we can be perfect in this life. There's no way. But with Christ living in and through us, we can live so much more of a life of integrity than what we would on our own. So my prayer is that each of us would be able to do that. Each of us would be able to live and recognize that a life of integrity is a life of a blessing from God. The psalmist relays God's promise of blessings for those who walk in His law. He promises blessings for those who walk in His law. Look at 119:1-3. He promises that. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek with Him the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. So if we know His Word should be able to direct us. Again, it's not about legalism. It's not about setting a standard on people that you know you can't reach. But it's Christ living in you that can enable you to do so much more than what you would do in and of yourself. So my prayer is that we'd understand also that God's promise of blessings are for those who walk in His law as well. Now look at this next thing. Because the Bible is God's Word, God's law provides clear instructions and confidence for faithful followers. He provides clear instructions. His Word, sometimes it seems it's almost too easy to follow. But it's not so easy to follow, is it? We all know that just following His Word, that we can sometimes get confused about what His will is for our life. So we have to get other people to help us understand it. We have to get all kinds of resources to help us understand the words and the terminology, and it can get so wrapped up in that. But my prayer is that we would so understand that God's Word is so clear based on what the other Scriptures say that we can use other Scriptures to interpret what He's saying in a specific passage that we're studying. So God's law provides clear instructions, and those clear instructions give us confidence. Wouldn't you say that? That we become people that have a sense of confidence in our own life when we understand His Word. When we understand His Word, it gives us a sense, well, I can do that. Well, we try to do it in and of ourselves, but still we fumble, don't we? We still are not able to keep up with what He tells us so clearly in His Word that we need to do. But again, it's the Spirit of God working in our life. There's nothing that you can do in and of yourself. It's God working through you that enables you to understand His Word and be able to translate that and apply that to your lives. Okay? And then finally, because the Bible is God's Word, God's law provides clear instructions, just like I just said. And then obeying God's law results in a changed person. So the moral law tells us that if we understand something and we do it, then that gives us the opportunity to change, right? If only it were that easy. It's not as easy as what we think it is. Again, that change comes from what? Not the exterior, but that change comes from where? The heart out. We all know that, don't we? We know that the change comes from the heart out. There are so many people, so many churches, so many people out there in this world that want to try to constrain you and say that it's how you dress, that it's how you look, that it's the people you hang out with, that it's this, that it's that. But again, let us understand that God's Word transforms us from the heart out. So that's how we become a changed person, is when we read His Word, His Spirit works in and through our lives, and then we are changed from the inside out. Purchasing an item requiring assembly can cause a dilemma. Do you plow through the pieces and try to figure out how they all fit together? Sound familiar, like Christmas time? Or do you use the instructions, lay out all the pieces in advance so that you know what you will need and what you'll have to work with, and then actually follow the directions as they've been written? These instructions are written by the designers. They understand how all of the parts best fit together. Likewise, God designed us, and He has offered directions for living a meaningful life in His Word. Many of us as parents are going to go through that here shortly. When we're trying to put together the train sets, when we're trying to put together the bicycles and everything else that we're getting our children for Christmas. And if we don't follow those instructions, what's going to happen? We're going to be up all night, and our wife is going to be bothering us, isn't she? So she's going to say, we need to get this done, we need to get this done, we need to get it done. But try as we may, try as we might, we feel that we are the only ones that can complete it, and we don't need those instructions anyhow. What are the main frustrations with trying to put something together without using the directions? How many times have you gotten to the end of assembling something and found leftover materials? What does that suggest about the way we put it together? How does that correlate to trying to follow God without understanding His instructions in our life? So we try to read His Word and we try to apply His Word. Or a lot of times we have good intentions of reading His Word, but we wind up not reading His Word because of the busyness of our life. And then we try to live our life day to day not knowing what the instructions are. May that never be in our life, that we would try to go at it alone. Instead, trust in God, trust in His Word, and help us to understand that He wants what's best for our life and that He will continue to show us what we need to do. So number two, not only is, like we said in number one, when we obey God, that what God commands in Scripture, we can enjoy the blessings of a life of integrity, but also number two, God's Word offers hope because of His power to cleanse us from our sins. God's Word offers hope because of His power to cleanse us from our sins. So again, if we understand what His Word says, His Holy Spirit works in and through our lives, changes our heart, and then that comes out in a life. And we change, our lives are changed because of Him working in and through us. Look at verses 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? It's asking that question. By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commands. Your word I have hidden in my heart. Finish this out. That I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You see, God's law offers direction, correction, and instruction for His people. God's law offers direction, correction, and instruction for His people. It is an instruction book, just like we learned from the previous illustration. It's an instruction book. And that instruction book helps us to live this life in such a way that would please Him. And in turn, His Spirit would come into us and live in us and help us to understand how to live a life that is pleasing to Him. Next, learning God's law results in praise for God. Results in praise for God. So God can be praised in and through our learning of His Word. That's why I like so many of these children's programs like Awana, the Team Kid program that we're getting ready to kick off here next year. And for all of our children, the biggest part of that is that what's going to be happening with that is that these kids are going to be learning so much of the Word of God. Yeah, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against him. We learned that during VBS. Let's learn it year round. And let's challenge our kids. Let's challenge ourselves to learn more of the word of God in and through this new year. So, and in turn, what happens when we learn his word is God is praised, because so many people will understand better what his word is saying and how to apply it to our lives. And the next, since the Bible is God's word, the faithful follower rejoices in and meditates on it. The faithful follower rejoices in and meditates on it. Instead of looking at God's word like it's such punishment in our own lives, when we come to understand, when it helps us to guide us in the right way, what happens is it's not a sense of drudgery. Instead, it becomes something that we are so happy to understand, so happy to know how it can change our lives and the lives of the people around us. So many times we're meeting with our families and we're meeting with our relatives during this time of the year, and we want so bad for those people to be changed. We want so bad for the people in the community to be changed, and we want so bad for all this world to be a different world than what we're seeing today. But guess what? It's the foolishness that these people see foolishness, see his word as foolishness, because they don't see it being lived in our own lives. So instead of it being drudgery in your own life, instead of going another hour, another day, another month, another year without reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, set into your hearts and to your minds rejoicing, because His promise is one of those things that you can use in your life to help transform your life and the life of the world around us. That is the only answer to the problems that we face today. Nancy Pelosi's not your problem. Donald Trump's not your problem. These people are not your problem. The problem is sin in our own lives. Sin in our own lives. And the only thing that can change that is the Lord Jesus working in and through us. Do a Google search about dealing with guilt, and you'll find more than 4 million helpful sites, helpful sites. Those sites include advice about forgiving yourself and moving on. The emphasis of most of the advice is on making you feel better. The psalmist understood that guilt comes because our sins intrude on our relationships with each other, and most importantly, relationships with God. Only God can provide the forgiveness that follows us, that allows us to be cleansed of our sins. Let me say that again. Only God can provide the forgiveness that allows us to be cleansed of our sins. Let me ask you some more questions. Why do people try to deal with sin in their own terms? Why do they often turn for help somewhere besides God's word? What is the consequence of not dealing with sin according to the teaching of the Bible? So my prayer is we would understand that there's nothing, again, in and of ourselves that we can do to try to have an answer for the sin that is in our world and in our own lives. My prayer is that we would come to the Word of God, and we come to the Word of God expectant for it to change our own lives and the lives of the other people around us. So help us to understand this, O Lord. Help us to understand that there's nothing in and of us that can defeat the sin nature that we've inherited from Adam and Eve, but instead, it's your word that speaks through us. and transforms our lives. And in conclusion this morning, God has provided His Word to us in written form. There, here, we find great insight into how to live in a way that pleases God. The result of obedience to find what we find in Scripture is an ever-increasing desire to please Him in our own lives. So lest you believe that there's something within these Scriptures that's going to lead us astray, I can definitely tell you that these Scriptures will not lead you into sin. Either you will remain away from His Word and see no transformation throughout your life, or if you get in His Word, His Word will transform your life forever. Let's pray if we can. Dear Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the promise of Your Word that tells us that Your Word is a lamp unto our feet. It guides our way and a light unto our path. Lord, may we never discount Your Word. Lord, it's not a sense of what we have done. It's all what You have done and what You can accomplish in our lives. Lord, we thank You for this time of year that we can understand that it was Your Word that became flesh and dwelt among us through the Lord Jesus. And that flesh that was sent here to earth as the Lord Jesus, He forgave us. He cleansed us of our sin by taking the penalty of our sin on Himself, by dying on the cross and being raised on the third day. We can't forget that. Lord, and we thank You for today, the time that we could worship You this morning. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.